Yeah, you do. You got to keep your head up. Good evening and welcome to the Carolyn Holt Show. I am thrilled and excited to be with you this evening because we have a lot to talk about. And if you want to take part in the conversation, and I hope that you do, the telephone number to call the show is area code 323-293-3375. Again, that's area code 323-293-3375. Now, on tonight's show, we're going to be talking about Jackie Robinson, because Jackie Robinson is a fine example of diversity, because about 70 years ago, he broke the color lines in Major League Baseball. And this weekend, April the 15th, was the date. And this weekend, there was a celebration for Jackie Robinson at Dodger Stadium. And I wanted to acknowledge the role that Jackie Robinson played in diversity, because many times his name is not brought up in the conversation when diversity is discussed, but it should be, because back in 1947 is when Jackie Robinson became the first black man to play in the major leagues. And the significance was there was a Negro League, is what they called it for baseball at the time. And that's the only way some of the really great and athletic and skilled players could show off their skills, is only in the Negro League. But Jackie Robinson changed that. And he just was such a wonderful man with a lot of attributes. And it says that from the very first day that Jackie Robinson showed up on the field. Now, this is your very first day at work, so just think about that for a moment. Your first day, you come to work, and the main thing that you get on the first day of your new job is racial hatred. And it may have been somewhat easy to deal with if the hatred had just been coming from one area. But in Jackie Robinson's case, the hatred came from the spectators. It came from the opposing team and from his own teammates who refused to play alongside a black man. So, you know, you really do have to have some intestinal fortitude in order to withstand such foolishness. And you really have to have a temperament that is above and beyond what most of us possess. Because when you think about it, racial hatred, just because you show up, it's just unimaginable. And I don't think it's something that most of us would be able to tolerate as with as much class as Jackie Robinson did in his day. It says that in 1962, Jackie Robinson was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and his number 42, was retired by all major league teams. There is not a team in the major leagues that has a number 42 on their roster. Now, that's quite an honor in terms of recognizing what you bring to the table. Now, unfortunately, it has taken a span of 70 years to give Mr. Robinson the stature that was given to him on Saturday, because he had been honored by many people. But this is the first time the Dodger organization has done something for him and in his honor. And according to those who were there, apparently it really was an outstanding tribute to him, because Jackie Robinson was not just an athlete. He was very much involved in civil rights. And when you think about it, he probably didn't have much of a choice, because here he was, for all intents and purposes, a lone ranger, so to speak. And there was not a support system in place to help him out. I mean, he really was kind of on an island by himself. And when you think about it, just if you compared Jackie to any of the star athletes of today, civil rights is generally not where you see them. They're starting to, and I would say they started to with the issue of Black Lives Matter. But civil rights, they generally don't take on for a whole race of people. And the reason being is that they don't, some of them, not all of them, many of them don't believe that it's up to them as an individual to address the issue of civil rights. They believe that perhaps they should use their platform for other things. And I guess they have the right to do that, but that's not how Jackie Robinson handled the injustices and the racial hatred that he endured. He decided to take a stand and to use his platform in a very positive way. It says that Jackie once said that because he was a very conscious person, that he wouldn't have it made until, and when I say have it made, he wouldn't enjoy the position that he had rightfully earned until the most underprivileged Negro in Mississippi could live with the same dignity as he did and with equal dignity as anyone else in America. Now, when we talk about consciousness and conscious raising, I think that's a pretty powerful statement, because he was not just concerned because he had quote unquote made it, because he realized, as I said earlier, that even some of his teammates had racial hatred for him. So he didn't get this position of being the first Black professional baseball player and just let it be at that. He was engaged because this was very important to him. And I admire him for, you know, it, just think about it, to still care at that level, to have that much empathy and that much compassion for others when you yourself could write your own ticket. I really admire that, because you don't find people like Jackie Robinson every day. And it says that on this past Saturday, a statue to honor the trailblazing athlete that helped to usher in diversity in America. The statue depicts Jackie Robinson, frozen in time, stealing home plate. Now, I'm not, I guess, a huge baseball fan, but my father was. And I was talking to my brother this evening about what I was going to talk about on the show. And I don't know if this is a fact because I didn't have time to vet it, but I'm going to go with what my brother said because he does remember Jackie Robinson. And he says that Jackie Robinson is the only man that could steal home plate while the pitcher had the ball in his hand. So I don't know how you pull that off. I mean, you really do have to have a great understanding of people, and you have to really pay attention to details, I would assume, in order to steal home plate, because that's the most coveted prize on the field, because that's how those scores happen. So if you can manage to steal home plate with, I think it's what, 9 positions on the field at any given time, you have all of these people watching you, and you have the catcher of the opposing team covering the plate at as much as he possibly can. And with all of that protection on the field, you can still figure out how to steal home plate. I'm telling you, that is such a remarkable thing. So the Dodger organization, that is the legacy that they created to help people remember him because of his ability to steal home plate. And it says the reason being that the action in terms of him stealing home plate, it reflects 2 traits that define Jackie Robinson: his bravery and an aggressive nature, which helped him blaze his historic path. Well, when you think about it, even if they had not said he had those two traits, it's pretty, it's just, I guess, an awesome skill to have, to not only be gifted and talented, but to have a great athleticism. I guess that's the heading that you would put that under, just in terms of your ability to play a particular sport, but to also be such a conscientious and conscious person. It's really something to celebrate. And as I said earlier, it's been 70 years since this took place. And it is, I believe, a time in history worth noting because there are a lot of young Americans, black, white, and other, that really they have no idea or any clue about who Jackie Robinson was. And it is incumbent upon us as not only people of color, but people old enough to know his the indelible mark that he left in history. It's up to us to make sure that they are aware of him. And I'm going to talk a little bit about him, a little bit more about him and what his daughter had to say that I thought was so profound. So stay with me.
Whoa. Mastering math can be big fun. Fun for you and everyone. Play it each and every day.
Master Math the easy way. Math Maze.
Why not turn math time into fun time with Math Maze, the new game craze? Get yours today at mathmaze.us.
Mom, now you can help your son master math and have big fun. Play it each and every day. Master Math the easy way.
Play Math Maze.
Make sure your child owns the skills necessary for success in high school algebra. Get it now. MathMaze.us. MathMaze.us.
And now you can help your daughter play it like you know you ought to. Play it each and every day. Master Math the easy way. Say it, play it.
Math Maze cards contain both Spanish and English. Get yours today at MathMaze.us. That's MathMaze.us.
Welcome back to the Carolyn Holt Show. Tonight I'm talking about Jackie Robinson because he, as far as I am concerned, he really ushered in diversity 70 years ago when he became the first black man to play baseball in the major leagues. And on April 15th, which is officially Jackie Robinson Day, the Dodger organization, they honored him with a statue at Dodger Stadium. And as I said earlier, Jackie was a very conscious and conscientious person. And he's known for his quotes. And the initial quote that I stated by him that said that he didn't consider himself as having made it until every underprivileged person in Mississippi had the same equal rights as he had. But he also said that a life is not important except for the impact it has on other lives. Well, when you think about that, that's quite a statement to live up to, because if we're honest, most of us are simply trying to make our lives as wonderful and as easy and spectacular as possible. And if other lives are touched by that, great. And if not, then we're still happy. But as I said, he was a very conscious and conscientious person. So the lives of others was of great concern and great interest to him. And he took the opportunity to display that in his character and the way he lived his life. And he also made the statement that I'm not concerned with you liking or disliking me. All I ask is that you respect me as a human being. And I tell you, that is such a great position to live by, because it's very hard to get a lot of people to like you. It's probably easier to get people to dislike you, but when you wash it all out, it's still going to be about 50-50. 50% of the people will like you, 50% they won't, and probably not for good reason. They don't like you. They just don't like you. So it's far wiser and far easier to deal with the aspect of respect, because respect is a thing that has to be earned. And so if you earn people's respect, them liking or disliking you is not so important at the end of the day. But at this event, there were a lot of people. Vin Scully was there. Now, if you live in Southern California, it's my understanding that most people, there are two people that are very celebrated in the world of radio that for their voices. One was Chick Hearn, who was the announcer for the Lakers for many years. And the other is Vin Scully, who I think on last year retired from the Dodger organization as their announcer. But Vin Scully was there. But it was Jackie Robinson's daughter, Sharon, that said some things that I believe that are truly profound and something for us to ruminate on. She said that it is our hope that the stature will be a reminder to kids and adults that life is a glorious challenge filled with stolen bases and strikeouts, and that the stature will inspire all of us to fight back against injustice, build strong communities, take risk, and embrace the beautiful diversity of this great nation. I think that's such a warm tribute, not only to her dad, but to put it in perspective so that America, being one of the greatest places on the face of the earth, can embrace the issue of diversity, because as we all know, there's a lot of struggle in that area, and especially regarding the workplace. Last year, well, not the Oscars that just happened, but I guess the 2015 Oscars, the Oscars So White, where it was felt that not only African-American men and women, but just diversity, period, behind the scenes and in front of the camera, just didn't measure up. And so I'm going to give Jackie Robinson another honor and call him the father of diversity, because he really helped to show America the necessity of inclusion. And there's been a lot of studies lately regarding diversity, and as I said, especially in the workplace. And there was an article in the Huffington Post by Megan Biro. And Megan had some observations that I want to share with you that I think they're worth noting. And she said that now we know this, but sometimes seeing it and saying it solidifies it more into our consciousness and sears it. So I'm going to go with this one. She said that highly educated Black professionals face a widening gap with whites as they progress through their career, and it is still a surprise in the 21st century workplace that there is this great divide. And when I read that, I'm like, well, it's perhaps something that's not foremost in all of our minds, but when we think about it, she has a great point. And it says that NPR recently highlighted a study by social scientists that outlined the depth of the challenges non-white professionals face when applying for a job. And one of the research pieces that John Nunley, he's an economist, and that's what I find really interesting about this study. Here this guy is an economist, but his research regarding diversity is outstanding and so to the point, because he's an economist at the University of Wisconsin. So you would not necessarily think that as an economist, his dealings are with the issue of diversity, but he says that they had some researchers. They sent out about 9,000 resumes. And on these resumes, they had about, they had both traditional African-American sounding names and traditional white sounding names. And they said that black people with black or African-American sounding names received a 14% lower callback rate. So if fewer minorities are being interviewed, then fewer minorities are being hired. And the research showed all the subtle little ways that somehow African Americans or non-whites don't get the job. And I know perhaps when you're sending out your resume, you don't think about that. And I also know that many times when people are naming their children, lately I think they've started to consider what's in a name, but I'll say between the 60s and the 80s, perhaps not so much. And so it was proven by this research that what your name sounds like has a great impact on if your resume is going to get further consideration when you apply for a job. Because as you know, applying for a job now is basically on the computer. It's not always that you get an opportunity to go in and physically meet and sit with someone. So your name plays a major role in whether you even get considered for the job. Doesn't matter what your experience is. And it says, according to the Pew Research, and the Pew Research Center is one of the leading research centers out there these days that, people look to get the correct numbers. It says that the millennial generation, which I happen to agree with, is far more diverse than the silent generation was 50 years ago. And when you think about that, I mean, that's a no-brainer because the silent generation 50 years ago had little to no diversity. So the millennials, I have to give them a lot of credit because they're the first generation that that diversity is starting to move in a positive direction, not only in terms of the workplace, but in terms of their personal lives as well, because it also says that the millennials are the most ethnically diverse group, and interracial marriage is the event that they use to support this data. There's probably a lot more interracial marriages among millennials than any other generation. But in terms of diversity, Jillian B. White of the Atlantic, she makes some assertions that I think perhaps are true, and these assertions are certainly something to give pause and some thoughts about. And one of the assertions she makes is that African American employees receive more scrutiny than their white colleagues, and the scrutiny is certainly in the area of making small mistakes. And these small mistakes, they lead to very bad performance reviews, and when it is time to get raises, the raises are lower among African Americans because of the belief that if they do make these small mistakes, it doesn't matter. A mistake was made, and they simply don't deserve a second chance. And that the workplace should be wary of hiring people that make mistakes. Well, when you really break it down, I mean, what more of a racial statement can that be? Because no matter what kind of person you are, it doesn't matter. All people make mistakes of some kind. But Jillian says that the scrutiny that African Americans have to suffer is far greater than any other group. And her assertion is that Black people in the workplace, they don't get a second chance to improve job performance because they are let go when a mistake is made. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be a mistake. It can be for all kinds of issues due to a lack of empathy and compassion. And it has been noted that the brain shows empathy and compassion in very distinctive ways. And the unfortunate part when it comes to diversity is that empathy and compassion for African Americans is just not there. So this is something when you are on your job, you need to keep in mind. It also says that once African Americans are let go and their job history does not look strong, and you're forced to have to think about what kind of resume you're going to use to get a job, it requires some real thought. And the reason that it requires some real thought is that if you are constantly in a situation to where perhaps you have skills, but you get fired for having a poor job performance, it's hard to get momentum or gain momentum in terms of acquiring new skills so that perhaps you can be promoted on the job or being able to partake in some of the perks that jobs offer. So you really have to, I guess, be on your P's and Q's if you're going to keep your job, because you are under a lot of scrutiny. And it says that in terms of this resume, there are things to consider when putting it together that will force the issue, I guess, in terms of whether you ever get another job. Because many times there is a long layoff period from one job to the next. And the struggle and the issue is how do you make up for all the time that you didn't have a job? Because it's a very interesting thing in that if you have a lot of gaps in your employment history, I've heard people ask, well, then, what have you been doing all of this time? As if I'd love to know, how is it that you've been making? If you haven't been working for this many years, what is it that you're actually doing? Which I think is, this is just my personal opinion. I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but in my personal opinion, I think is that it's insulting to say, well, what have you been doing all of this time? Because as far as I'm concerned, the reasonable answer is I've been looking for a job. So to have someone speak to you with such disdain about not having, I guess, a consistent employment history is a little upsetting and can be disturbing. But when people don't take things into consideration, you know, this is what you get. The other problem that they mention is that many of, especially just in terms of Fortune 500 companies, many companies, they don't have a diverse board of directors. And so much of the thought and the planning regarding the company is decided by just a handful of people who perhaps have no understanding about the day-to-day existence or life of African Americans, and not to say that it varies widely from other people, but that there are some things or some challenges that they have to meet that may not be experienced by white people. And so I think when putting together a board of directors, not only should African Americans be addressed in terms of diversity, but women and all kinds of differences, because that's the kind of world that we live in. And most of the answer to that is, well, you know, this is my company and I can run it the way I want to, and these are not things that I believe I should have to address. Well, all of that may be true, but if your business is going to mirror what is in society, it will include all different cultures at the workplace. So that is something that you need to consider, especially when you're putting together the board of directors. But back to the issue of the resume and how you deal with a lack of job history. Say there are four different types of resumes that are considered what the workplace requires, and if you don't fit into these four categories, I'm not sure what to suggest you do when you are starting to look for a job and you have a lot of gaps. Now, the first resume that that's pretty traditional that everybody essentially requires, especially these days, it's called the chronological resume. The chronological resume, it's the most common. And the chronological resume, it is designed to list your work history in a chronological order, starting with your most recent job down to your earliest job. But if your job history is not solid, this is not the resume for you. And that is something that you have to keep in mind, that if you have a resume, one resume does not fit all when you are looking for a job, because especially if you're looking for a job on the computer, because it is designed with keywords in mind. And if your resume does not reflect the keywords that the computer has been set to notice, then more than likely it's probably going to get kicked out. So if you do have gaps, this is the resume that they recommend for you. And it's called the functional resume. So keep that in mind. The resume for when you have employment gaps is called a functional resume. And it says that unlike the chronological resume, functional resumes focus on your skills and your experience. First, this resume de-emphasizes the dates in which you work. And that's what the chronological resume, you know, it'll say from 2010 to 2015, you know, I was an executive vice president for XYZ company. But in the functional resume, that's not the important part. It says that employment history is secondary and is listed under the details of your skills. If you have lapses in employment, or if you are in the middle of a career transition, if you are a recent grad with limited work experience, or your work background is diverse with no clear career path, the functional resume is the resume for you. And the reason being that hiring managers have a different expectation in terms of when a functional resume is presented. They're not holding you to the solid employment history, but they are holding you to your skills and your experiences. So keep that in mind. Now, there are two more resumes that I want to talk about, but I'm going to take a break. And when I come back, we'll finish up our discussion on diversity. Stay with me.
Mastering math can be big fun, fun for you and everyone. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way.
Sing, play, Math Maze.
Why not turn math time into fun time with Math Maze, the new game craze. Get yours today at mathmaze.us.
Mom, now you can help your son master math and have big fun. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way.
Sing, play, Math Maze.
Make sure your child owns the skills necessary for success in high school algebra. Get it now. MathMaze.us. MathMaze.us.
And now you can help your daughter play it like you know you ought to. Play it each and every day. Master Math the easy way. Say it, play it. MathMaze
cards contain both Spanish and English. Get yours today at MathMaze.us. That's MathMaze.us.
Thank you so much for joining me. Today I'm talking about diversity because this is the 70th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier in baseball, which has led to a lot of changes in diversity and especially in the workplace. When Jackie Robinson started playing baseball, like I said, it was no wonder, and he was not surprised by the fact that there was a lot of racial hatred that existed because the people let him know. In today's workplace, things are a little bit more subtle. They're not quite as bold as they were in Jackie Robinson's day, but there are still some issues, and there are still a lot of issues in terms of diversity. And one of the issues that has been highlighted is that African Americans no matter what their professional experience or their level of education, they receive a lot more scrutiny in terms of job performance, which then in turn keeps the pay low and the experience necessary to get promoted. That's something that they are perhaps always chasing. And so we were discussing how do you deal with those employment lapses. And I mentioned that there are four different types of resumes to address these issues. One is the chronological, but you should only use that resume when you have a very solid work history. The other is the functional resume. It addresses the lapses in history by highlighting your skills and your experience. But then there's the combination. And the combination, it says, this resume allows you to detail both your skills and experience while also backing up the details with a chronological listing of your work history. It's flexible in nature, and it lets you tailor to prospective job openings and tell hiring managers a story, perhaps, that they would be interested in hearing. And that you should use this resume only if you have the opportunity to tell hiring managers the type of employee that you are. So the real key here is a face-to-face sit-down meeting. And as most of you know who have been job hunting lately, that's a very difficult thing to have happen unless you get a lot of response to your resume. But many people feel that when they apply for a job, it's almost like submitting your resume to a black hole. You don't know what happens to the resume. It just kind of goes into space, and you have to wait to be contacted. Personally, that's not my favorite way to job hunt, but that is the preferred way. And so while it may not be a favorite, it is certainly something that you have to consider. So one of the things to consider is a combination resume if you're going to be able to meet face-to-face with the person that's going to be doing the hiring, because they are looking to see and to hear your story and to determine if you are a good fit for whatever it is that that they're looking for. So they need to see you face to face, and that's why you would present combination resume. The last resume that they mention in terms of job hunting, it's called the targeted resume. And the targeted resume, it's very customized. And it's customized in detail for the specific job that you are looking for. And most people hate this particular resume because they have to constantly update the resume based on, you know, whatever the job is that they're looking for. And sometimes it'll say if you have experience in, you know, four or five different areas. And if you've had a lot of jobs, it's a possibility that you do have a lot of experience, but you have to weave it so that it fits whatever the specific job is that you're looking for right now. You might not be able to present the chronological resume because it may not tell them what they are wanting to know. Because, you know, as you know, a resume is simply a snapshot or an overview of what your work history looks like. And so you have to get people's attention and stand out in some way. And with the targeted resume, everything matters. And everything matters because the employer has a specific set of knowledge, skills, talents, and abilities that they are looking for in the prospective job seeker. It says that everything, your objective, qualifications, and educational experience needs to mirror the job you're seeking. Now, the interesting thing is in this targeted resume, they mention objective. Now, it is believed by most resume writers that the objective is no longer important to put on your resume. It is suggested that you should even leave it off. And so with the targeted resume, that information does not apply. In the targeted resume, it is suggested that you leave your objective, your qualifications, and educational experience. It's important to put that on there. It says that targeted resumes are time-consuming, but they can generate the best results if the qualifications and experience you outline mirror the prospective job closely. But you have to be careful. When you develop a targeted resume, you must be as accurate as possible and do not embellish career highlights just to mirror the job you're applying for. And I guess that is a fancy way of saying don't make stuff up. You need, if you say that you have X, Y, and Z skills, then you should possess those skills and you should be able to demonstrate from your job history that you have implemented those skills in getting a job done. Don't just put on the resume what you think they want to hear, because targeted resumes, they are looking for customization. But in it being customized, they expect that what's on the resume is truthful. So just keep in mind, too, even though you definitely want a job, you don't want to create tales that are absolutely not true in terms of getting a job. And when we think about job hunting, you know, we have to present who we really are in terms of our skill level, because if we don't and we do get the job, the issues that we have will ultimately show up. And since the African-American employee is one of the most scrutinized, you don't want the scrutiny to turn out to be what was necessary. So it's just easier, just lay it all out, and it may take longer sometimes in order for you to get the job that you're looking for, but I think it'll lessen your stress, because what you say you are, you know that to be true. Because prospective employers, they do check. They check information. I was told recently about a situation where this was a very high profile position at a university, and the person was actually hired. They got the job, and unfortunately, just as they were about to do the job, the background check didn't check out like it should have, and they were let go. So you do have to keep in mind that you can't just make up stuff. Often people get caught because they make up stuff. There's the one classic case of the father and son having the same name, and the son used his father's experience to create the resume, but the experience was over a 10-year period, and he was not old enough to have gained this kind of experience. So you really do have to consider that honesty is a good policy. But there are a lot of steps that need to be taken regarding diversity. We are not where we should be, but we are working on it, and I have to applaud the millennials for spearheading that particular situation. So thanks to the millennials, we're well on our way. Thank you so much for joining me for tonight's show, because the goal every week is to help you move from misery to magnificence and from subpar to spectacular. Thank you so much for joining me, and good night.
Mastering math can be big fun, fun for you and everyone. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way.
Math Maze.
Why not turn math time into fun time with Math Maze, the new game craze? Get yours today at mathmaze.us.
Mom, now you can help your son master math and have big fun. Play it each and every day. Master math the easy way.
Math Maze.
Make sure your child owns the skills necessary for success in high school algebra. Get it now. MathMaze.us. MathMaze.us.
And now you can help your daughter play it like you know you ought to. Play it each and every day. Master Math the easy way. Say it, play it. MathMaze
cards contain both Spanish and English. Get yours today at MathMaze.us. That's MathMaze.us.
To our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies.